You know, I can remember early in my career when I was doing a speech and I really was into health, even those early days. And I did a talk one time, and while I was doing the talk, this person confronted me in the crowd, and I said, "Do you know who Dr. Carl Symington is?" And the guy said, "Yeah," because in those days, Dr. Symington was very famous. He was one of the pioneers in using visualization to change biochemistry. And he was one of the few people who had made real success. He was a medical doctor doing that in Texas and became very famous in those years. And the guy said, "Well, of course." I said, "Well, Dr. Symington's a friend of mine, and Dr. Symington will back this up." And it was really intense, right? And then something else happened, and I mentioned something else. So on the way home, I was driving home that day with a person who was kind of my partner in business, or at least my manager, and he was my good friend, and he was a lawyer. And he was very quiet on the way home. And I couldn't figure out why he was so quiet. I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Tony," he said, "I got to ask you something. I've known you for about 4 years. I've never heard you say you know Dr. Symington before. Do you know personally Dr. Symington?" And I went, "No, I didn't." He said, "Well, you said that you know him personally, that he's your friend." And I said, "I honestly didn't realize I'd done it because I had been visualizing meeting him nightly. I'd had conversations with him already. I really believed in every ounce of me that I knew him, right?" And he said, "Not only that, but you said you know Norman Cousins as well." And I said, I feel like I do because I've had conversations with him." He said, "You called him?" I said, "Well, no, I've had conversations with him." And then he really started to lose it, right? Here's what's scary. Probably less than 2 weeks later, probably 10, 12 days, less than 2 weeks later, I lived in Marina Del Rey in this little apartment with a roommate, and the phone rings. And I pick up the phone, and this voice on the other end says, "Is this Tony Robbins?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you live on the beach in Marina Del Rey?" I said, "Yeah, who's this?" He said, "Humor me for a moment. Do you have a patio that looks out on the ocean?" I said, "Hey, who's this?" He goes, "Just humor me for a moment. Walk out to your patio." So I did. And he said, "Look to your left. There's a long condominium complex. And at the very other end, I saw a person waving like this with a phone to their ear." And I said, "Who's this?" He said, "This is Dr. Carl Symington. I understand I'm a friend of yours." I went, "Carl, buddy, how you doing?" He said, "Young man, I don't know who you are." He said, "But a lot of people are impressed by you, and I've heard this thing about you." And he said, "This is really weird." He said, "Because no one knows. I'm getting a divorce from my wife, and I just moved in here 2 days ago. No one even knows I'm here. Somebody saw me and told me that my good friend Tony Robbins lives in the building." He said, "I think we should talk." So I sprinted on over and became his friend very quickly. And we hit it off so powerfully. And I talked to him, all the conversations I'd had metaphysically with him, et cetera, right? And he said, "Well, you got to be careful what you say to people." I said, "By the way, do you know Norman Cousins?" And 2 weeks later, after that, I flew in. I went to Vancouver to do an event. And then I came back, and I stopped in Los Angeles. And I was walking in the door at UCLA of Norman Cousins. And when I walked in the door to meet Norman Cousins for the first time, he said, "Ah, the master has arrived." That's how Norman and I became friends. But I had this tiny little apartment. And the apartment was probably, my room was probably not much bigger than the size of this stage. And I had to decide which was more important, a bed or a desk. Since I was starting a business, I figured a desk was more important. So I still needed a bed, so I strung a canopy bed, or not a canopy, but a hammock, from one end of the room to the other, and I put one of those futons inside of it. And so, and I had a little, you know, answering machine, and I came up with the name of my company, Robbins Research Institute. It sounded so big. But I moved from there to the castle. And how I did that is I found out about this guy that was there, and I tried to rent this castle for one night to do a seminar on New Year's Eve. I figured instead of getting drunk, what if I got everybody conscious? And what if we broke a world record on New Year's Eve? We did a world record firewalk, which in those days was 35 feet, which we broke. And I said, we'd be in tuxedos, and we'd all go out, and we'd be in this great castle, have a mini goal-setting seminar, and then afterwards we'd go out and start the new year by walking through fire and breaking through the next time, you know, next frame. And so I worked all this out, and then when I got there, I thought, I want this place. Now, this was kind of big since my current rent was about $450 a month, right? And this place was not for sale. And in addition to that, it was, you know, huge, millions of dollars. And so I started talking. I kept visualizing. Next thing I know, I find out this guy is willing to lease it for 6 months. And I find out the fee is $4,000 a month. Now, bear in mind, I'm making $38,000 a year, right? But this doesn't stop me, right? I look at this thing, I said, this is unbelievable. I said, I got to do this. Just to say you lived in a castle for 6 months would be so amazing. So I started getting my mind around it, believing I might be able to come up with that for 6 months. And so I talked and talked and talked, worked things out. And sure enough, I said, all right, go for it. And I leased this place. I remember the first night I arrived at there, arrived and went through the place, and I found all the secret passageways and cool stuff like that. It was very cool.